I am Andy Zaltzman. I'm currently getting a piggyback on the Statue of Liberty, who finally, ahead of Monday's event, dived off her platform in New York Harbor and is currently about 50 miles across the Atlantic, swimming back to France.
I could not take it anymore, Andy.
I fully understand, Libby.
There's only so much hypocrisy one giant symbolic metal statue can take.
Testify.
Let us swim to France, where democracy is healthy and happy.
Yup, just need to bring you up to speed on a few things there, Libs. Right, well, whilst Full Metal Janet here decides whether to turn back or plough on, let's get going with this week's news quiz. Welcome to the news quiz. Our teams this week, following the announcement of a Middle East ceasefire and ahead of Monday's inauguration, we have team At Last against team Not Again. On team At Last, we have Sarah Barron and Glenn Moore. And on team Not Again, Nish Kumar and the author and journalist Xing Seng. Now, obviously the big news this week is the Middle East ceasefire. Now, we don't want to address it in full until we're absolutely sure that the ceasefire is holding, so we will come back to it properly in, just to be on the realistic side, let's say 3,500 years' time, give or take. So I have a quick question for our panellists. I'm a huge fan of peace, harmony, global stability, human happiness, and stuff like that. So I have my personal optimismometer. I'm just asking you, how optimistic out of 10 should I be, Nish?
I think at the moment I would go for a solid 2 out of 10. Only because a ceasefire is something we all desperately want and is desperately needed, right? The key factor here is you can't trust Benjamin Netanyahu. This is a man who is still going through a trial for fraud and bribery. The fraud and bribing community are not necessarily two of the most trustworthy communities. So what I would say is, I wouldn't go as far as saying with Benjamin Netanyahu, you can trust him as far as you can throw him. I'd say you can trust him as far as I can throw him. And I was placed into remedial PE at school.
Xing, are you hopeful?
Oh, I will put it at about 2 out of 10. And I think one of the interesting things that has emerged out of the reaction to the supposed ceasefire deal is that Russia has said it welcomes the deal, but in the words of their spokesperson, let us wait for the process to be fully finalized. And you know, when Russia is saying steady on, it's a little bit precarious, that's how you know it's kind of up for debate.
I think I'm putting it 8 out of 10. I'm going into it with the same misguided optimism as when I think, despite prior experience, hey, maybe today the McDonald's milkshake machine's working.
Well, two American presidents have given credit for the deal to two American presidents. I'm going to ask our panelists if they can match the president giving the credit with the president that they have credited for that deal. So the two presidents giving the credit are A, Joe Biden, and B, Donald Trump. And they've given the credit to one of A, Donald Trump, and B, Joe Biden. So I'll pass this to you first, Sarah. Can you match them up?
Yeah, okay. So I'm just going to, like, throw it out there, Andy. I think Trump is going Trump and Biden is going Biden.
Correct.
And I feel like since they're both claiming credit, the rules say we have to progress from the one who smelt it dealt it to the one who denied it supplied it.
Nish, who are you giving credit for?
I don't know, man. I think I know the answer, but at the same time, these are two very senile men. Like, but unfortunately, given that Reagan was a two-term president, electing someone with serious mental deficiencies is as American as shooting an apple pie. But the thing that sort of concerned me, I think more than anything else this week, was with Biden. He sort of gave his kind of outgoing address and he warned about what he called an oligarchy that's taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power and influence. He talked about the tech industrial complex and he was warning that that's something that's going to happen. My brother Joey B, it's here. Like, why are you warning us about something that has happened? The horse has bolted, my friend. It felt like he was about to go on to warn us about the dangers of fidget spinners and Justin Bieber.
I think this was a trick question. I think Donald Trump gave credit to Donald Trump, and I think Joe Biden gave credit to, I quote, Barack Zelensky.
Right, moving on now to something we've touched on already, Sarah and Glenn. Which former peaceful transfer of power skeptic has seen the error of his ways, learned from his mistakes, and will on Monday be peacefully transferred back into power?
Well, I do believe it's Donald Trump.
Right.
Can I say, I find it like that British people don't fully understand how huge of an event and spectacle the inauguration is. Because when you guys get a new prime minister, it's just a handful of people hanging around the gates of Downing Street. It looks less like a transition of power than it does parents doing school pickup.
I have to say, I'm quite surprised that the village people are performing at the inauguration. They're performing their hit YMCA, which I think the lead singer has said that the YMCA is not actually a gay anthem at all. It is in fact totally appropriate to open the inauguration with.
I always preferred the village cricket people, mostly. Yeah.
Well, I read that the village people over the years in total have had 27 members. Now, I'm not saying he's trying to up the inauguration attendance statistics, but I think that's why they're there.
Aren't the village people like the sugar babes? Like, they sort of rotate in and out.
You get conscripted.
I was wondering if he was going to ask for the Native American to be replaced with the guy with the horns from the January 6th rally. Don't you also think it's like a weird statement of how crazy everything is at the moment that the so-called leader of the free world likes dancing to the YMCA at public events, but he doesn't ever do the YMCA dance?
He can't spell it.
I was going to say.
If he did, you know he's doing the C backwards.
I mean, if they're going to choose a 70s disco classic to play at Trump's second inauguration, I'm not sure that YMCA is the most appropriate.
Surely it should be Staying Alive.
Well, here's a question, Nish, for you. What do the following people have in common? Okay, Michelle Obama, Keir Starmer, Nish Kumar, Ronnie O'Sullivan, and Elvis Presley.
Only one of them was asked to perform at the inauguration. I'm guessing the answer is none of us are going to be there.
Yes.
So Michelle Obama hasn't given a reason, and I was trying to think, well, why would Michelle Obama be skipping the inauguration? And then I thought, maybe it's a bit like, you know how it's best to go to Alton Towers during term time because it's less busy? I thought, well, maybe she's trying to take advantage and she's trying to go somewhere where there's going to be no people. And I've had a think, and I think she'll be at the inauguration.
Well, let's look now at who will be alongside Trump, not just at the inauguration, but in his four-year term as president. Of course, it's good to familiarise yourselves with the names and faces of the Trump cabinet, just so you can work out whose memoir denouncing their chaotic and unworkable time in government you want to pre-order in time for Christmas, or more realistically, for your summer holiday reading book this year. So let's start with Pete Hegseth. He could become the first US Defence Secretary to have what, Nish and Zing?
Oh... He's got an interesting tattoo, right?
Yes.
I think it's of a gun.
He's got a tattoo of a gun.
A semi-automatic rifle.
Yes. Well, I don't think any previous defence secretary has had that. I know Donald Rumsfeld famously had a tattoo of Evil Edna from Will O' the Wisp on his face. Actually, that might just have been his actual face. And on reflection, I was watching it on the telly. And
do we actually know where the tattoo is, though? That's my question, because I think that says a lot about the person.
Right.
Does it? I mean, I've got one tattoo. I've got a tattoo on my scalp that says, if you can read this, please stop shaving my head.
He loves guns so much. One of his, you know, his seven children, which he couldn't remember the names of all of them, but one of the children is named Gunner, and that was one of the ones he remembered very promptly. I was thinking, to be fair to him, who else has seven children? Captain Von Trapp. So I'm thinking that what he needs to do is, instead of working to remember their names, he just has to get a system together with his children where he blows a whistle and each child steps forward and says their name. Liesl, Brigitte, Gunner.
Or like the film, does he need to hire a housemaid to stop him from being a Nazi?
He's denied allegations of inappropriate behaviour towards women, but despite this, Trump has stood by him.
Every one of Trump's picks, you just want to get it out of the way and just go, just tell us what's insane about them. Every single person he suggests, you go, just, let's just get it out of the way, and he'll be like, I've got a new head of security, and you're like, just tell us who it is. And he's like, it's Feathers McGraw. And you're like...
All right. Robert F. Kennedy is set to be the US Health Secretary, despite having no relevant experience or qualifications. Can you explain why this is actually a good thing?
I mean, it's hard to in some ways, because in terms of him, he doesn't look like the picture of health. If you look at a photo of him, it looks like someone's put fake eyebrows and a wig on some beef. But the only positive in this situation is that once they get in the White House, Kennedys don't tend to last long one way or another.
I think it is a good thing. He looks like a cautionary tale. No, but that's what you want from a health secretary. He's like the pictures you get on cigarette packets. Don't end up like me. The problem is, obviously, he is against things like vaccines, and it is difficult to convince some of the American population that that is a bad thing. And I think a lot of people in America have the attitude of, well, if I die from polio, that's my opinion.
I mean, I'm not sure it is necessarily a problem, because, I mean, surely he's got no background in medical science, and he's a sceptic of vaccines and, facts in general. But the way I see it is medical science is, it's not one of those things that you can learn, is it? You've either got it or you haven't.
It's like being left-handed.
Yeah.
I don't know how deep everyone goes with the Zaltzman law, but Andy actually delivered his own son. So technically, you have more experience than RFK Jr. of being a medical professional.
Yeah, I did. Don't know, I mean...
That was a really
you guys better
weak
be applauding
round of
his
applause.
Wife.
A man caught his own son in the toilet. Did I mention it was in the toilet?
Whilst Test Match Special was on the radio.
Yeah. Who won the match?
India won.
Yes! I knew I liked your son for a reason.
Did you owls out when you caught him?
Threw him in the air, high-fived the wife. The big screen. It turns out that Agus's voice is worth two epidurals as well.
I think if he is against vaccines and people are against vaccines, and part of me sort of thinks, well, let those people find out for themselves. No, genuinely, I feel this way every year. Whenever Easter rolls round and Cadbury's cream egg do that big Easter egg, but it's hollow, and I'm like, well, why don't they fill it up with the cream egg filling? And Cadbury's are like, because you'd die. I'm like, but let me find that out.
You also famously survived a brain worm, so you know there's that. A big boost to the brain worm survivor community. He actually openly admitted that the brain worm ate a portion of my brain and then died. Yeah. So the brain itself was so toxic that the brain worm was like, let me out of here.
Also, they just announced he's Secretary of State for Nominative Determinism, which is a key role in a Trump government, and he's gone to Helena Handcart for that one. Before we move on from America, whose punishment did not fit any of the 34 crimes?
It's the guy.
Yes, it is the guy. I mean,
Donald Trump. Guy.
Yep.
This was over his sort of hush money trial that he supposedly paid the porn star Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about their affair.
It's been referred to as his unconditional discharge. And I just want to come in hot on this one, Andy, and say that is also the subject of my most recent email to my gynecologist.
But I think the important thing to say is that Trump is now saying that this means he's innocent, which he isn't. He has been convicted, and he is the first convicted felon in the White House. Which he is, of course, a truth that he is completely ignoring.
And listen, he won't be the last. This is a real inspiration for convicted felons everywhere. He is the Obama of convicted felons.
He described it as a witch hunt.
The rest of that quote was, it's a witch hunt and not the good kind. Not the one that's a laugh where we get to drown a whining lady.
So let's look ahead to the next 4 years. I looked at my crystal ball this week and it was just a sad eye weeping salt tears. No, it was a mirror, not a crystal ball, but it was pretty reliable. I think, what are your predictions and hopes? Sarah?
All right, prediction for the first 100 days. Slaughter the Jedi, seize powers from the Galactic Senate, blow up Alderaan as a show of strength. What about he'll buy Greenland and then sue Denmark when he realizes it's not the same thing as Legoland?
I think they're going to put some stone balls at the base of the Washington Monument. Because if you've sort of defaced the tradition of American democracy, you may as well just go the whole hog and draw a penis on it. So why not huge balls at the... That monument already looks somewhat on the phallic side. Why not whack some testes on it, get it biologically inaccurate... Maybe we can get four suspended stone lines at the top of the monument as well.
And a fountain at the top.
I think what we've got to do is we've got to stoop to his level. You've got to lie, you've got to cheat, you've got to take what you want, when you want. Good artists borrow, great artists steal. I came up with that.
Well, it will be interesting to see how it all pans out with Trump, the great disruptor in charge. As the old saying goes, if you want to make an omelette, you have to strafe the chicken enclosure with machine gun fire. See how it pans out. Personally, I'm quite relieved that Trump won. I think it's great because I think it's reached the point where it's safer for the world and for America that Trump was put back into the White House rather than released back into the wild. At the end of that round, the scores are 6 points all. Right, moving to this side of the Atlantic. Nish and Zing, other than the harrowingly unignorable impact of climate change, why this week might you have heard people saying, oh, the tulips are out early this year?
Well, famously, the anti-corruption minister Tulip Sadiq has stepped down after people drew associations between her and her aunt, who is the former leader of Bangladesh, who is also being accused of corruption. So it's not looking good for either party.
Yes, if I may quote from a text message my father sent me this week, if you want corruption done right, get a South Asian on it. We are to corruption what Brazilians are to playing flamboyant attacking football.
I kind of found it refreshing for a millennial to lie about how they afford to live in central London by saying her parents did buy her house.
I don't understand. If you're going into a position that is literally called, the anti-corruption is in the name of your position, who have you hired? Did you get Prince Andrew to do the background check? Like, it's... It sort of beggars belief that this is has happened.
We should say that the ethics advisor has actually looked at this entire case and said that she hasn't violated the ministerial code, but she should have been more alive to the reputational risks, which, you know, is kind of putting it mildly, I would say.
The sleaze czar, or independent advisor on ministry of interest, is Laurie Magnus, a.k.a. the big truck. And he... he said that... So Tulip Sadiq told him that the visit to Russia, there's a photograph of her with Vladimir Putin and her aunt, the former leader of Bangladesh, in 2013. And Tulip Sadiq told Magnus that the visit was, quote, solely for the purpose of joining family and enjoying tourist access to the city. And obviously she was a bit unfortunate, her aunt, very busy woman, and the only family time she had available was whilst signing a $1 billion arms deal and a nuclear power plant project deal with one of the world's leading shitbags. So... Everyone has different ideas of what constitutes a holiday. And obviously a lot of people, yeah, in the days when you could go to Moscow on holiday, queuing up to see a Russian leader was all part of it. Generally, it was just the dead one in the mausoleum rather than the... I mean, we've all ticked the wrong box on the tourist ticket-buying website, haven't we? You know, she ended up visiting Vladimir Putin. And I fondly remember thinking I was booking a guided tour for the Colosseum in Rome, but I ended up in a gun battle with Pablo Escobar in the Colombian jungle. They both began with coal. I just didn't read it all the way through. What a school trip that was.
There was that lads' holiday you and I took with Robert Mugabe.
Robbie Muggs?
big Robbie Muggs, yeah.
Right, moving sideways in Labour politics. Not going anywhere, Keir Starmer insisted this week. Can you narrow it down from what it must be said is a wide range of possibilities to the specific thing he was talking about?
Is it all the stuff in the British Museum? It's ours! If you want it back, you're going to have to assemble a multi-ethnic Ocean's 11-style team to heist it. And I'm now thinking, as I'm saying out loud, that sounds like a great movie idea. I would watch the movie. I've forgotten the question.
It's Rachel Reeves, isn't it?
Correct,
he said that she is not going anywhere.
Yes.
So as Chancellor, she's been sort of a bit of trouble with regards to the pound being low, and then she not dodged questions, but then flew to Beijing, and so Keir Starmer said, she's not going anywhere, and everyone's like, where is he? And he's like, okay, right, she is in China.
For many years to come, he said, not going anywhere for many years to come. How realistic is that?
What if he seized her passport?
I mean, the reason why he's saying that is because it's actually looking slightly better for Rachel Reeves, so inflation is slightly down, the economy has grown by all of 0.1%, which tells you how bad it was doing before. So, you know, when 0.1% is considered good, that's how you know we're in real trouble.
Well, I guess that most of the complaints have come from the Conservatives, but people are obviously arguing that the economy was in a sort of worse position when they're in power, so she's doing the best with a bad lot, I guess. And I feel that way. It was a few weeks ago, I went to a bar and I had a big pint of Diet Coke and I left, and then I really needed a wee, so I went back to the same pub and I said, can you use your bathroom? And they went, we have to order a new drink. And I was like, but you did this is your wee. Rachel Reeves is dealing with their way. All
right. They keep saying that in order to get the kind of economy out of this hole, there needs to be a bout of ruthless spending cuts. Here's my question. What is there left to cut? I don't know if you've tried to take a train to see a doctor recently, but the entire infrastructure of this country is crumbling around us. Are they now just going to, like, sell off the car parks outside hospitals and we're just going to have to 10-pin bowl the vulnerable into A&E? Like, if they want to raise more money for the Exchequer, then we're going to have to start embracing some increasingly extreme things, like turning all care homes into Amazon warehouses and just putting the extremely old to work. In fairness to the Amazon warehouses, there are reports that they don't let people go to the bathroom. In fairness to the people in care homes, they often do it in their nappies. Let's put two and two together, solve the social care crisis, and put some more money in Bezos's pockets.
At last, you're providing some much-needed political balance, Nish.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer went to Ukraine this week, where Vladimir Zelensky gave him some much-needed encouragement at this difficult time. Well, perhaps related to this, a poll next week is set to reveal that one in five people in this country prefer what to what.
Is it saying yourself instead of you at the Traitors' Roundtable?
It's one in five prefer unelected leaders to actual democracy.
Yes.
One out of five isn't too bad. North Korea's six out of five. That's...
There's only one lesson that we can ever learn from history, and that is that we will never, ever learn. And perhaps coming to the rescue, the government has announced plans for an AI strategy for the nation. But what unorthodox method of delivery did they announce for it this week?
Every. And if we're not in, they'll deliver it to France.
Sending Angela Rayner door to door dresses the Terminator.
They said that they want to mainline it into the veins of this enterprising nation. And, like, I don't know how much stuff that's cool gets mainlined into people's veins, but, like, generally it is something that in my mind I associate with narcotics. And I actually found some of the rejected items from the drafts of the speech. Keir Starmer was going to say, we're going to pick AI, dry it out, crush it into a fine powder, and then roll it up and smoke it. No tobacco in there, just pure AI blunt. It's so weird. It does seem like Keir Starmer now desperately is trying to go, oh yeah, you think I'm boring? I'm going to treat AI like it's drugs.
I mean, we might be misinterpreting it because they might be using the term mainline in the sense of the West Coast mainline. And the AI revolution will just consist of a single ZX Spectrum thrown out of the window of a Ford Fiesta into a ditch on the A46. So...
Where's the AI? It's actually on a rail replacement service.
It's having a sit down on the floor because there just isn't enough seats.
Starmer said, mark my words. All right, usually about 4 out of 10.
I just don't know which departments we're meant to be using it in. I know that they want to use it for the NHS. I do not trust AI with the NHS whatsoever. And to prove this, earlier on today, I literally typed in my symptoms of a cough into ChatGPT. I got word for word the following response. Your account with OpenAI remains suspended after too many requests to generate Captain Tom Erotica.
The public apparently still feel concerned about AI. A recent bit of research said that the top words people associate with AI are worried, scary, and robot. Sorry, no, that was research into the first words they think of when they scan the Labour front bench. We could have an AI king. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
And I think there's a couple of members of the royal family that we could have replaced with chatbots and everyone would have been quietly happy about it. I'm not sure there's a lot of AI prompts you could put things into and have them say, I am medically unable to sweat.
I think AI would make the perfect king because it just can't get the fingers right.
Now, Keir Starmer has been accused of not addressing the everyday needs of the people, but with AI, with this announcement, he can't be accused of that because he claimed AI could solve what national problem?
Maria.
At last.
I know what the answer is, and I'm humiliated by my response to it.
Right. Oh.
Because the answer is potholes, right. I believe. Now, potholes is spelt as one word, and I always get confused by that. And I don't know if it's because I went for tapas a few nights ago, but I read a BBC article when I said out loud to myself in my living room, what is potholes?
Uh-huh.
No, I think also what he said was it could spot potholes, which is not the problem. Everyone spots potholes. The problem is fixing them.
How do we see these damn potholes? Is Keir Starmer constantly falling into traps laid for bears in the forest? The thing is, with these language models, there are benefits to the doctors who are trying to diagnose lots of diseases, but there are also significant drawbacks. A study in 2019 found that the sort of carbon footprint for training a single early large language model like GPT-2 was about 300,000 kilograms of CO2, which is the equivalent of 125 round-trip flights between New York and Beijing. So really, the thing that it can solve is climate change, and the thing it's going to solve about climate change is it's not going fast enough.
Can any of you tell me what causes potholes? Like, no. Genuine factual question?
No. It's snow.
Right. Any other guesses? Any of our audience know what causes potholes?
This...
No, it's not freezing thaw. It is decades of underinvestment in public infrastructure. And political culture of cutting every corner. The current national pothole strategy is hope that it never rains and that no vehicles ever drive on the roads. Right, well, at the end of our AI round, the scores are, well, neck and neck at 10 points all. Which means, with the scores tied, it means we go to a tiebreaker, and the closest to the correct answer will win. 1 year ago, BT announced a plan to turn 60,000 of its green street cabinets, the ones that hold phone and broadband cables, into electric vehicle charging points. This week, they've abandoned that scheme, but can you tell me, of those 60,000 cabinets, how many did they actually turn into electric vehicle charging points? Closest wins?
I'd say 25.
I'm actually going to guess minus two. So they didn't turn any of them into electric vehicle chargers, and by accident, they actually ran over two actual electric vehicle chargers.
Well, you are closer.
We did it, Zig. Yeah, we did it.
It was one. One out of 60,000, and that one apparently doesn't currently work. So... Nish and Zing are our winners on penalties over Glenn and Sarah. Thank you for listening to the News Quiz. I've been Andy Zaltzman. Goodbye. Taking part in the News Quiz were Glenn Moore, Sarah Barron, Nish Kumar and Zing Seng. In the chair was me, Andy Zaltzman, and additional material was written by Christina Riggs, Mike Shepherd, Cody Dahler and Ben Pope. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.